Techheads. Podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 428 this week of Aussie Tech Heads. How are you all going? It is another great week of the show. We've got a lot of, look, to be up front, there's a lot of Apple news tonight. There's so much that we might have a quick, not a normal length show. We don't want to bore everyone with Apple news if people don't like the Apple stuff. So all the Apple stuff will be on the Aussie Mac Zone in depth. But this tonight, we'll just see how we go. We're going to go through it pretty quickly and just get our thoughts and stuff on the Apple events and products that have been launched this week. So, but before we do, we are brought to you each week by ATH Web Hosting, Aussie Tech Heads Web Hosting. So you can go down there and have some nice shared hosting for a nice reasonable price on servers on Aussie soil. And also scopeitEducation.com.au. We thank them for their support of the show also. All right, so let's get into it. We've got a bit of a strange, for those watching on video, it is a bit of a topsy-turvy video tonight. Warlock is recording. It's my machine died with the video, lost all its settings, and it would have taken too long to set it all back up. So that's why it looks a bit different. So, but I hope you can still follow along. And those on audio, they wouldn't care less. Couldn't give two hoots what the video looked like.
Well,
could you? Oh, I didn't think so. All right, well, let's see who we've got here tonight. We've got Warlock. Hey, Warlock, it's been a while since I've seen
you.
Hey,
how you doing, everyone?
Good, good. What have you been up to? Just working hard, I hear?
Well, going to work, I wouldn't say hard.
Hardly working.
Something like that. Good work.
In the late night shifts and evening shifts and crap.
Oh yeah, doesn't that? Do you like that, or you'd prefer days, or it doesn't matter?
It makes it hard to do your podcasts, but 10 to 6 is not too bad. But it's the 10 at night till 8 the next morning that's a real
killer.
That's
a hardy. Yeah, that's the true graveyard shift, isn't it?
And we just got bought by Melbourne IT, so you got be changing soon.
You got bought out.
Yep.
Oh, right. Oh, good. Well, the prices will start going up.
Yeah.
Oh, we better not say that. All right, and in the middle there is Eric. How you doing, Eric?
Hello, gentlemen. How do you do?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Welcome again to the show.
Thank you, sir. I missed last week. I had what was my excuse last week?
I don't know. You were trying to get some beauty sleep for the Apple product launch.
I don't think so. I have never
that
in my life.
Wonderful USB adapter and
USB-C. You know, USB-C stands for something. Well, which I won't repeat here.
Mm.
Crap.
And over in the right, far right, those who are looking at the video is Will. How are you going, William?
How are we doing, guys?
Not too bad.
It's been a while. I've been away for a couple of weeks. I've just been flat out.
Have you?
I have. All the issues I'm having where I'm currently working and all the issues I'm having trying to start my new job, I'm starting to work for myself. So
you got a lot to do.
Oh, man, it's been insane. And then my car blew up and
That's right.
Sonia lost the job. And, yeah, it's been a great week.
That's no good. That's no good. Well, hopefully we'll be able to put a smile on your face tonight, Will.
Just hanging out with you guys always puts a smile on my face.
You know, with all the wonderful Apple news you're going to digest.
Don't worry. I've got a nice review, nice general review that you guys will enjoy.
All right. Now, we've got an email. Let's kick off. We've got a couple of emails this week, but we'll kick off with one from Rick B. Enjoys listening to the show. Hey, who doesn't? I have had a laugh and picked a few things up from you and the other boys. Good work. Good stuff. That's what it's all about. Can we do a review of Norton 360? And what's a good...
Who's going to dare install it on there? Is that you... That's what happened. Glenn installed it on his computer.
Yeah, he went to do a review and exploded everything. That's what the problem was.
Hang on a minute. He wants a review of Norton's 360.
Yeah,
oh, it's easy. Don't buy it.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. Don't ever mention it.
Next email.
Now, look, I'll just expand on that a little bit. Norton's was always pretty reliable for being really bloaty and slow in your computer.
That was its best point.
75% of your memory it used to suck.
Yeah, and look, I don't think it's that cheap, is it? I think it's probably one of the dearer ones around.
It is, $90.
That's because they pay people like Harvey Norman huge amounts of money for them to flog it off.
Yeah, so look. Yeah, it's okay. So, Warlock, you've got a Vast. Eric, what are you running on your PC?
I'll tell you what I'm running. AVG, I think. Hang on, let me just check.
And what are you running,
Will? AVG Antivirus, which has a malware and blah, 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 blah as well.
Oh, you've got the paid version?
I've got the full thing. I paid the paid one. It's got the antivirus, the malware, the firewall, the lot.
Right. Cool.
Yeah,
and
I use
bugger all. Costs bugger all.
I use Zone Alarm for my firewall. And I use, I'm running, it depends on which particular computer I'm using and what the application is. I'm running Avast on this system. I'm a Media Center, I run AVG. They're just slightly different things for slightly different purposes, but they're both as good as each other.
You like spreading it around though, Will. That's why you do that. Now, spread the love. Now, I've got AVG, the free version, and I've also coupled that with the malware bites. And between them, I don't have a problem. Or well, I don't think I do.
Don't click on links and emails, kids.
That's
right. It's not from the tax department. You're not getting a $30,000 tax return.
Prince of Nigeria.
And that, and then when it says click here to see so-and-so without any clothes on, yeah, never going to happen.
Emma Watson.
Search for it yourself and get it from a reputable...
Get a virus from a reputable company.
Get it from a proper porn site. Stop being cheap.
Yeah, a reputable porn site.
And we recommend the following content.
And next week, Will will have a review.
Yeah. Well, some of them will, anyway. So what have we got next?
Now, yes, okay. So, look, Norton 360, look, it's not my antivirus of choice, but to be fair, I think they're all pretty much the same. I think, you know what, Norton's will pick up this week, AVG will pick up the week after, and then probably the next virus that comes out will be vice versa. I don't think there's any real difference.
AVG,
I
mean,
as far as what they pick up, they're all pretty much the same.
They're using the same difference.
How it deals with your system...
Yeah,
is another story. And as far as Norton goes, it just clogs your system. That if you don't want to run anything else on it other than antivirus, if you don't want to use your browser or your email or your office document, then it's fine.
But Norton's is better now, though, isn't it? These days,
you want to spend a lot of money too.
It hasn't got any better. I mean, there are paid ones, as you said. AVG and Avast offer perfectly good, really highly free one. You know, highly rated. They're rated in the top two or three every year, but their paid services are fantastic. If you want to go paid, look at like Nod32, No Open Doors. That's another really good one. And what's the other one?
Malwarebytes.
So it used to be McAfee. They're not too bad.
They're floaty now as well.
Are they? I haven't used them for a few years.
Trend
and there's
micro.
Another one. It used to be Vet Computer Associates. They've changed their name to something else. I can't think what they are.
Yeah, they
the one
bought
that.
Out.
Yeah, but I can't think off the top of my head what they are, but theirs isn't too bad. If you are running a lightweight system, like a netbook or something like that, there are really lightweight options. There's one called Panda, which is actually an online one. It runs in the taskbar, but it keeps all the definitions, it keeps all its updates and everything. It doesn't fill your computer up with them. It keeps them all online. It just keeps them in memory. Whereas you're browsing, it just updates and everything as you're going. So if you're running a lightweight system, there's options for that as well.
All right. Now, so pretty much you can pick and choose. But as you know, we've got Warlock, Avast, Eric, AVG, paid. Yep. Will is a mixture. I'm AVG and with malware bites. I paid for malware bites.
And I think Zone Alarm as well, I use.
Yeah, I think the malware bites about $37 or $30 a year.
AVG is about $40.
Yeah, they're all about the same, right?
I think you need both. I think you need an antivirus, but whatever you do, I would recommend that you put malware bites on as a free version or as a paid version. Okay, there is differences, but you can sort them out when you get to malwarebytes.com. Also, he recently bought, he had three Toshiba laptops dead on arrival in a row from good old Harvey Norman. The first one wouldn't turn on. Second one had something rattling around inside it. Oh, it was probably that, what was it, Snapfish virus or something?
It was probably the button that was supposed to turn on the first one.
Third one had a dodgy wireless card, and they were all $1,300 machines with extra product warranty. I stuck with the same models. They were not as many around with backlit keyboards. You're right there, backlit. I love backlit keyboards.
It was probably the backlit keyboard that was rattling.
Yeah, who doesn't like backlit keyboards? And that reminds me of the Apple launch. Oh, are we going to talk about their backlit keyboards? Okay, so there you go. And what's he say at the end? He now has a satellite Z30 Ultrabook from JB Hi-Fi, which has been fantastic until recently the hinges failed and won't hold the screen upright.
That's
you're
using it wrong.
you're holding it wrong.
Now, I was actually really curious about this because I got my Toshiba from Harvey Norman, and I was really curious about why the semi-DIY isn't. I have a very good friend who worked at Harvey Norman for a lot of years, was high up in Harvey Norman as manager and things like that.
Now I see why you bought it from Harvey Norman.
And no, just because they're the only ones that had the laptop I wanted at the time. But and I said to him, hey, what's the deal with this? He said, he's in no way surprised. He said, dead set, they play football with all the cartons that come into that place. He said, if you actually buy something from Harvey Norman that works, it's rarer than buying something that doesn't work.
Well, that's not very nice, is it?
This is coming from a state, from an area manager.
Well,
so
you think he'd use his authority and say, "Stop playing football with our stock, please. Otherwise, you're fired."
That's why I go to Good Guys.
Well, yeah. I mean, the only reason I went to Harvey Norman to get mine was they had that particular laptop that I wanted. No one else had it at the time. I needed it, but I would generally not buy electronic stuff from Harvey Norman. I mean, I've bought things like thumb drives that have had fractures in the casings of thumb drives.
Yeah.
I've never
had a problem. I've bought air conditioners from Harvey Norman, had a problem. They came out,
drop kick them,
fixed it. Yeah, true.
You could try.
but anyway, any tips on how the hinges problem? You probably really can't fix that.
Sorry, mate. I was going to say the biggest reason they have break is either when they assemble and they're acting too tight, which just puts too much stress on the plastic, or you open and close them. Actually, it sounds stupid, but you can open and close them too quickly because they are a friction hinge, and the faster you move them, the tighter they are. If you just slam them shut or flip them open really quick, that's another reason that you can break them.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar. The other thing also is that you know when you've got your laptop and you're carrying it somewhere and you want to sit down. And you sit down quickly, and the screen jolts forward, springs forward, all the time. Or you place it down on a lounge or something, and instead of placing it, you're actually sort of half throwing it.
Or you pick it up to move it, and you grab it by the screen.
Exactly. So you've just got to be very, very, got to be a little bit elegant with any laptop screen, regardless of what brand.
But
and the other thing too is certain brands do have issues with hinges more than others. For example, some of the old Asus had that problem. I don't know if they do now. Probably not.
And the old Dells were bad for it as well.
Yep. Currently, the ones I would go for, if you want to spend a little bit of extra cash, because sometimes you do get what you pay for. I hate to say it, but you do get what you pay for. Aside from Macs, you know, I'm not talking about Macs. If I was to buy a laptop, PC laptop now, it'd only be an HP or a Lenovo.
Lenovo should be good.
Yeah, the Lenovo's are all right if they don't come with a virus. But I was going to say, like as Eric said, when slipping it on the bench, you know, and the wobbles and all this, we shouldn't be throwing them around too much anyway, especially if they've got a mechanical drive inside.
Well, I was going to say, we get a bit laxy these days. Because they mostly have SSD drives now. They don't have media drives. There's nothing in them really, like in the old days.
That's right. You're not as careful with them, but people forget.
They get more fragile.
All the screens, even the Macs, have friction hinges, like Will said.
Yeah. And lastly, he's getting his money's worth tonight, isn't he, Rick? And lastly,
what's his email address? I'll send him a bill.
Wi-Fi seems to stop and start. Is there a test I can do to check the wireless card of my connection?
Has he got a wireless card?
Does
he mean one of those old external cards?
No, just plugs in. No, just his wireless. His wireless.
Cards are about that big, and they plug in. Make sure that it unplug it, plug it back in again. It's probably a bit loose or something, and also make sure you got the latest driver.
But hang on a minute. You're talking about what do you mean wireless card?
Yeah, it's a bit hard.
Laptops
I don't know if
have got a little
about
card inside that plugs
in. Oh, inside. So you've got to open it up.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
It's not one of those old PCMICA things.
Yeah, PCMIA.
Yeah, it's not one of them.
PCIMIA card.
Whatever it is, No, it's just when you open it up, normally it's like tucked in near the RAM or something on most
PCs.
But
you shouldn't have
like
to.
One screw in it.
Worst case scenario is a little tiny aerial clip that plugs into them. Sometimes it comes loose, but
yeah,
I
they
would
sort
say
of
it's
just
a router.
Sit on there. They sit on there. With
oh, exactly. Well, it's exactly what I was going to say. Because the laptop, the internals of a laptop, if his Wi-Fi keeps cutting out, that could be related to the fact that his screen hinges.
Yeah.
Sorry about the swearing. Because if you've been throwing around your computer that your hinge is not that good, then there's a good chance there's a few other things that have gone loose as well.
Yeah, well, your wires run up past your hinge up into the monitor, and your Wi-Fi aerial actually runs up the side and
up the side of your screen.
So it's possible it's all related.
It's all related. If your screen hinge is not good, it's going to affect your Wi-Fi.
And also,
it could be your router. What sort of router you got? If it's a D-Link, throw it out. Throw it out now.
Everyone bags D-Links, but I've got a D-Link that will not die. It refuses to die. It's been left.
Well,
out
you must have got the very last one that they ever made that worked.
But don't you complain?
I was going to say, I think it's the old one. But
don't you complain every week about your internet, though?
Yeah, but that's a stupid, crappy Optus bloody crap.
But look, if you Google Wi-Fi test software or something, you'll find a bit of software that will be able to test the connection. Look, just sit right next to the router, do a couple of tests and see what happens. Or just watch your little bars as you walk around the house.
The other thing if you do have broken hinges, depends on if they're broken in the back of the screen or on the back of the case. If they're broken in the back of the case, make sure you don't press down because you'll not only press it onto the motherboard, but if it's a Toshiba, most of the Toshibas have the power plug right under the hinge. So if you press down, you've got to break the power plug off the board. I've actually replaced quite a lot of my friends' ones from doing that. They broke the hinge and then eventually it breaks the power plug out of the back of it.
And if it's under warranty, take it back. Solve all your problems. Yep. Now...
Don't buy from Harvey Norman. Buy it online direct from the manufacturer.
Yeah, buy it from China and import it. It'll cost you half as much so you can buy twice as many.
Ask Kogan, he does it.
Now, look, there's a really quick email here from Milo. You know, he just goes, starts off saying how great we all are, you know, all the normal sort of stuff. Now, if you can ask this tonight, which is really quick, he's got Google Chrome not working on one PC. Easy, uninstall it, reinstall it. Let's say, and that will probably
get
fix
the 64
it.
If that doesn't work, you get your PC, use it as a doorstop.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, if you're running 64-bit OS, try running the Canary, which is the 64-bit version of Chrome. I find it to be generally faster and more stable than normal Chrome.
What's it called, Will? Canary?
Sorry, what was that?
What was the 64-bit version of Chrome?
Canary.
Oh, okay, I'll run that. I'm running 64-bit on... This really well. Excellent Windows 8.
Its memory management is so, like, you run normal Chrome. If I had the amount of browsers open I had now, I'd be using a couple of gig of RAM, but on the 64-bit, I'm using, like, maybe 200 or 300 meg. It's really does a good job, yeah.
I don't know. I get the opposite to that.
Really?
Yeah. If I start opening up tabs, I can...
Probably because it's not used to the video card.
Probably. Anyway, all right. Now, I think that's about all we can say on all those topics.
That was a great show. We'll see you all next week.
You're just getting in because you don't want to sit through all the Apple stuff.
Oh, he'll enjoy my review, so it'll be fine.
I'll enjoy a laugh.
All right, so when do you want to put your review in? Do you want to put just that at end off with it?
Let's do it now to break up the nauseam that's about to follow. Well, that's why I emailed it. Oh, yeah, I emailed it to you. I'll email it to Warlock whilst we're chatting, and then he can play it.
Well, I can play it here. I'll play it here.
Yeah. You can play audio through this Skype. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I got Windows. Yeah. All right. Here's
I
Will's,
forgot you weren't recording, though, so yeah.
Here's Will's review when it starts. Oh, hang on.
My name is Jared Fanny Pack. Welcome to the Apple Garden.
What the hell is that?
The exciting new Apple Watch has a host of features. As well as answering calls or sending dirty text messages to a work colleague whilst their partner is away, the Apple Watch can also be used as a medical device to detect everything from toothache to prostate cancer. Simply place your entire Apple Watch in your mouth while still attached to your wrist. Does your mouth hurt a little? Could be a toothache. Better get that checked out. Forget seeing the doctor for your next prostate exam. Simply follow the same instructions for a toothache. And if it's unbearably uncomfortable, it could be your prostate. If it's slightly pleasurable, perhaps it's something you need to discuss with your partner at home. We're not here to judge. We're just here to make money.
At this point, Apple Proprietary Limited would like to advise you to take those two steps in exactly that order. Do not deviate for your own health.
However, the Apple Watch's amazing features don't end there. No more looking directly into the sun to tell the time. Leave that to the pharaohs. The Apple Watch has a built-in digital sundial and comes with three different alarm settings, including annoying. Totally annoying. And smash the alarm on the floor annoying. But the most exciting development yet is Apple Watch's new built-in irony technology. Irony technology. Irony technology. This allows a piece of equipment whose primary purpose is to tell time over a 24-hour period to ironically run out of battery power in less than 12. Less than 12. Less than 12. Didn't see that coming, did you, Ericsson? Or perhaps you did. The new Apple Watch. Buy one now or risk not being an overpaid hipster. Hipster.
Very good, Will. Now, do we have to credit anyone for that?
I believe it was actually Triple M did that on one of their evening shows. But,
yes.
I thought, yep, that's about the most realistic review you're ever going to hear of that product.
12 hours. Whoa.
So that is the battery life, is it? 12
well,
hours.
That's the battery life. 18, but you wouldn't want to be wearing it for military applications, would you?
No.
When they say, right, at 02300, we meet here. Sorry, my watch is charging.
Yeah, oh, can we do the raid tomorrow? I've just got a portable power pack. I'm just waiting.
So, could you imagine what the – you know how you get the iPhones and they've got those covers
pack.
That you got the power pack?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Just, there you go. Well, there's no, it's a bum bag. There's a comeback for the bum bags now.
Or ladies
would
have
see the military guys sneaking through the you know the bushes in a cover of darkness, and all their phones start beeping because the batteries are going flat.
Well, the ladies could have them in their shoulder pads or something. Yeah. But look, if you don't know, the Apple did launch.
Well, bring it, I'll take back.
Yeah, well, they did launch on when was
shoulder
it?
Pads
yeah. Tuesday morning our time, and yes, the Apple Watch was unveiled. There's a couple of other things that were unveiled as well. Eric, what else was on? We'll get to the Apple Watch again in a second, but do you want to? Was there anything in the event that you found exciting?
They dropped the price of the Apple TV to $69 US. I don't know what it's going to be like here. I haven't looked at it yet. That's not a huge deal. They're obviously trying to get some traction with that by dropping the price, and that's part of probably the HBO deal that they've got. But you know, that's fine. I got no issues with the Apple TV. They released.
I thought it was a waste of time. To be honest,
well, probably was. They probably didn't need to say anything. They could have just dropped the price in store and you know, whatever. But anyway,
be done with it. Yeah.
Then I wasn't expecting new MacBooks, laptops, and then they came out with they call it MacBooks. There's MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, and now there's MacBook. And I thought, oh, okay, here we go. I had a gold one, then you got a silver one, and a nice grey one. I thought, oh, that looks pretty nice. Until they mentioned the specifications. Oh, my God. It was running a Pentium M, one of my first laptops that I bought in 1997, just before my first child was born, was a Pentium M laptop.
They're old.
So I don't know what they're thinking.
Low power.
Obviously, they're probably a little bit better than they were 17 years ago.
Yeah.
But, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Give me a break.
Look,
that's ridiculous.
The best thing I thought that came out.
I'm just looking behind me. I've actually got a Pentium M laptop motherboard buried behind me there somewhere. I thought I could dig it out, but I can't find it.
I thought the best thing for me, or the most exciting thing for me that I saw on the whole thing was the how they fit the battery into that little notebook, MacBook. It was all a layered battery. I thought that was the best thing that was on the whole show.
Look, without a doubt, their technology and how they get things, how they engineer things, not a problem.
Mm.
They've always been very good at that, how they engineer things. It's brilliant. You know, all their products are reasonably good that way. They're very solid. You won't get many problems with most of their products. But this latest, you know, I'm an Apple fanboy, but this latest group of laptops, I'm sorry, you've lost me. I had my credit card at the ready.
Yeah.
And then they gave me the specs and the USB-C for confusion.
Now, that's the only port on it.
That's the only port on it. That's right.
That's the power and the data connection port.
But without the adapter, you can only do one thing at a time. You can either charge your laptop or charge your phone or hook up an HDMI cable to it.
What happens if your thing's going flat? You need to power it on. So
then you've got to buy a $90 adapter.
$90?
So you can plug in all three.
It's possible somebody like Belden might come out with a charger that has a pass-through. That would be great.
Yeah.
They will.
They might daisy chain something.
What do you reckon that adapter would cost?
It's $90.
No, to make.
$5.
No, serious. You reckon about $5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be much better just to throw that in the box?
That's a goodwill gesture, throw it in.
Yeah, so like, hey, this is our machine.
Only for the first 12 months, we're throwing it in.
What company are you talking about? When was the last time they did that?
Yeah, like this is our new machine. Yes, it's only got one port, but hey, we realise that sometimes you might want to charge something while you're going to finish your presentation. Here's it. Have the adapter. Remember in the, because going back to the Apple II days, yeah, if you wanted to plug it into a colour telly, you had to buy the RF adapter, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. So you've always had to buy these peripherals. Yeah, so.
But you had to buy the first one. You had to make your own case because it didn't come with one. I mean, it's not exactly.
They just want you to have everything wireless mouse, wireless keyboard, wireless everything.
That's not a real issue, but it's a very cynical exercise by them to just expect people to go, here, we want you to spend more money than it's worth on a laptop.
Make it useful.
That's going to perform worse than some of the ones we're already selling that are actually cheaper.
So now it's supposed to be.
You've still got to buy that, but you've got to buy that anyway.
So it's supposed to be replacing the MacBook and the Air, isn't it?
No, I think initially, I think it'll replace the MacBook Air.
Yeah.
But if I had a choice now, I'd buy a MacBook Air over that new MacBook.
Yeah.
And they're about the same price. And there's no way in hell.
The MacBook Air is going to be more powerful.
It is. My wife's
MacBook
got
a MacBook Air. Yeah, it's a more powerful.
And it's 2.5 years old, my wife's MacBook Air, and it's a screamer. This thing is so fast, it is unbelievable. It's actually faster than my brand new MacBook Pro, which I bought less than 6 months ago.
Yeah,
it is
I've always said because I've used a couple of them, my friends have got them. I've always said if I was going to buy an Apple, especially a laptop, I would buy the Air. One of their few products that I actually think really fits the purpose for which it was designed.
It is an absolutely brilliant machine.
It's going to be a sad day when that goes on. Yeah.
13-inch is absolutely brilliant. It's thin, it's fast, it's light, and for the same price as the new MacBook, you wouldn't touch the new MacBook. You wouldn't touch it.
No. So we had the...
Especially when you look at all the options that are around for the Air now.
Yeah, so we had the first up with the Apple TV, just a price reduction, like whoopee doo. When I heard him talking about that, I thought, hello, here comes another one. But no, alas, no, just the same.
Here we go, they're going to release an actual TV. Oh,
no, just an updated Apple TV. Maybe people could write apps for
not
it or something.
New software,
yeah,
not even brand new software that can allow you to, watch things from Amazon and Google Play. No.
The MacBook, waste of time. So that's two out of two, two gongs out of two. What was the third device that came
in? The watch,
yes. Now, the watch. To me, it was a waste of time as well. No pun intended. But I mean, like, it does nothing, really. It you might as well just have it. It's like an iPhone that's the size of a watch, like really? Like, what's the advantage?
No, look, it does. I couldn't think of anything more annoying than going through my apps on a screen this big.
Yeah.
And going, oh, where's my mail? Oh, look at that. Oh, look, I'm scrolling through. Hang on a minute, I'm just reading my mail. It's going to take me 40 minutes.
And what's the chances of you actually pushing the button? Yeah, pushing the right button.
Like, look. The Android watch that they've had out for a few years now, it's a very basic version of that. It obviously tells the time. It does all the stuff, your stopwatch, all that sort of stuff. It has a built-in camera. It's got like a 3-day battery life. It does let you have notifications on texts and emails and things like that. Yes, you can push it to the watch if you want to read it, but you don't have to because it's still Bluetooth to your phone. At the end of the day, your phone is still the primary method, but you do have the option. Say you're in a meeting and you got your phone on silent, but you're expecting an email or whatever, you can quickly just look at your watch and you can read it. But, you don't need to.
Mm.
It's not compulsory.
It's a passive thing.
No, it's not compulsory. I think the Apple Watch is the same. You don't have to pair it to your phone if you don't want to. But without pairing to your watch, it suddenly becomes a completely useless watch. What's the point?
Yeah.
It just tells the time. Yeah. Now, if I wanted to buy a watch that just told the time, then I'd buy a proper watch.
Yeah, and like the pricing of it, like it was what, $349 US, plus you'd spend another $50 to get a bigger one, like slightly bigger one. But like that's going to translate, say $350. That's going to translate over here to probably about $410, and they're probably going to go
$410, something like that.
Yeah, they'll round that up to $450. So
my Pebble is just getting
three
replies.
Well, I don't understand, right? This is a classic case. They are just ripping people off with this. The Apple Watch edition, $14,000, $17,000 because it's got 18 karat gold. The only bit of 18-karat gold is the face. The band, for the most part, is nothing. It's not gold. Now, if I went and bought a Rolex for $17,000, the whole damn watch is 18-karat gold. The band, the clasp, everything. Yeah. This thing, you're only getting the actual watch face and the thing that sits, the watch face sits in and sits on. That's 18-karat gold. There's probably $2,000 worth of gold in that whole watch that you're paying $17,000 for.
Yeah,
I think you buy a Rolex, there's $10,000 worth of gold on there that you're paying $17,000 for.
Yeah, I just had the feeling when I watched the whole thing.
I think it's a very cynical exercise. I think whoever falls for that is an absolute moron, and I'm calling you out now. Well, go and buy one, tell us about it, and I'll call you a moron.
All right.
Just to put it into perspective, there's an article here about, you know, obviously that equates to about $24,000 Australian, and there's a quick article here on things you can buy for the 24 grand. And to put it into perspective, you can buy a Golf TSI 6-bed manual for 22. You can buy a house in a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom family house in Wisconsin in the US for 24. You can buy a block of land just out of Melbourne, an acre block of land for 22 grand. You can actually buy the most expensive iMac, MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, iPad Air 2, iPad Mini 3, iPod Touch, iPhone 6, iPhone 6 Plus, and an Apple TV, and only set you back 13 grand. you can buy a fancy European cruise for 14 days for two people for 22 grand. You can buy Super Bowl tickets.
I think they're having a go.
Spend the other,
they're having a lend of us.
You know, so, or you can buy one, what bag's this? We're not talking about, there's a Hermes Birkin bag, which is so exclusive and desired that it's $10,000 just for a handbag.
Nice.
But having said that, you can still buy two of those. So, and they're probably more useful than one watch. So it's,
all right. So, but it wouldn't be no surprise that the Apple Watch copies are also available on the Alibaba site. You can probably get them for a lot less as well.
Like 40
and
bucks.
Probably just as useful.
Yes.
And the battery life's probably twice as long.
Well, they both feature the digital crown dials on the side, similar styled straps, and identical user interface graphics to the to Apple's. However, the listings reveal that they run on Google's Android platform. Other giveaways that the watches are not iPhones include... They are being offered for around $40. And so there you go, $40. $40.
Well, I'm sorry.
They
let
do
me
not.
See. Let me buy a watch that does everything that the other one does as $40.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. They don't feature the same heart monitoring sensors on the rear, although this is not always made clear, and they boast longer battery life for $40. But, I mean, I was hoping for a bit more. I wanted some more of the healthy things, I suppose, like the Fitbit might offer. Wanted more of that sort of stuff in there. But if it's going to be a watch, it has to really do just about everything, hasn't it? It's got to make you a cup of coffee. It's got to do everything.
Well, given that they were bragging a few weeks ago about having the technology there to be able to monitor heart rates and blood sugar and all that sort of stuff, you would think that they'd at least make a half-assed effort to put some of it in their watch, wouldn't you?
It's going to be interesting because they're expecting to sell, what, something ridiculous, like 7 million in the first week or something?
Yeah, 7. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, do you think it's been really that bad, Eric? Do you think that the people have
I'll backtrack. They will sell... a lot. They will make a bucket load of money out of these Apple Watches, but it doesn't mean the people that are buying it aren't morons.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's not gonna. That to me, that doesn't tell me anything about. Hey, look, there are Apple fanboys and girls, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then there are Apple fanboys and girls who are just completely besotted, and they will buy anything that the company brings out. It's like a cult. They're brainwashed to buy anything.
Yeah.
And then in 2 years' time, the watch is sitting in the drawer or in the bin, and it's never been used because there's something else. You know, it's the ADD generation. You know, they see something shiny. Oh, look at that over there. Ooh. And then a little bit later, oh, there's another shiny thing over there. Right? It's the ADD generation.
But was
That's
it Tim?
All. It's terrible.
Was it Tim on the event where he's going, oh, now – you can have it on your wrist. You don't have to pull the phone out of your pocket. Like, that's hard, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Jeez, hang on a minute. Hang on. Wait. Hang on.
Nobody else has done that yet.
It's in my pocket. Someone's ringing me. Hang on. Hang on. Oh, I've got to have a rest.
Yeah. That's hard work, isn't it?
Someone give me a – I need to wipe my brow. Give me a break.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's a joke. But anyway, talking about breaks, we're going to have one here, and we're going to talk about Scope IT Education. Now, you can find these guys at scopeiteducation.com.au. Kids today are engrossed with technology, and look, there's going to be a big opportunity for apps for this watch and everything. So if you were able to build an app, you could be selling it in the watch app stores soon enough. So kids today are engrossed with technology, often spending excessive hours behind their screens. The guys at Scope IT Education aim to fight this war. They instead aim to change those hours into productive hours. They turn customers into creators. Scope IT Education is a teaching organisation that provides curriculum-based technology training to primary-age students. Predominantly, lessons are done within the school system with refined, professionally developed courses that align with and complement current state and national-based outcomes. The course range is vast, with classes in introductory coding skills, with process-based logical thinking, app development, website design, digital citizenship, Google research, and now even 3D printing, electronics, and robotics. Of course, all their courses are fun and engaging. They carefully combine this with specific outcomes to help shape our children's education for the future, arming them with the technology skills they need in the world they grew up in tomorrow. If you think this sounds interesting, they have franchise business opportunities. For anyone feeling that this product sounds intriguing, or if you would like to know more information as a teacher or principal, check out the website at scopeiteducation.com.au. And we thank those guys for their support. Like, wouldn't that be great? Your kid, he could program an app for the watch or something. Like,
you know what he should do? The kid should do.
Program develop a your watch brain
to make sure that you don't buy the watch.
Get one of those $40 ones, $40 watches.
Well, I created an app with my daughter for the iPhone.
Yes, that's right. And so would she retain a lot of that? Did she code it, like under your guidance, of course? But she
did that with a Minecraft plugin. I got her to code it, and I just told her how things work and what to type in and what that meant when she typed it in, and she picked it up pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, you know, kids have got the interest and the inklings to want to do stuff, and I think that's great. What's that you got there, Will?
15.
It's a Scope IT. It's some of the stuff that the kids are making.
Oh, nice.
That's the LED light-up shirt and things like that.
Oh, yeah, that's the big thing now, isn't it, this Internet of Things? Like, that's where it's all going to be.
I've got friends who are hardcore into that.
Yeah, yeah, it's where it's at. I've seen a few really great... like little prototypes, I suppose you'd call them.
That was Kit.
Mm-hmm. Or car.
All right. Now, let's quickly get back to... Oh, well, let's quickly wrap up on these Apple stories. We have got a couple of other things. But the Apple iTunes App Store crashes globally. App Store, iTunes Store, Mac App Store, iBook Store. If you couldn't get on, they apparently had a DNS error. Apple said its iCloud Mail and iCloud account and signing were also affected. That's no good. Remember when everyone Google Mail goes down, everyone's up in arms. Can't believe it. The problem also reached Apple's physical retail outlets, which reportedly were using mechanical credit card swipe machines. I wouldn't have imagined they would have even had them. No. Apple quietly puts the prices of the iPhone 6 up in Australia.
I think great.
Up by $200 on some models.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, that's shocking. Oh, well,
no, we're not going to buy watches.
The exchange rate has crapped itself.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, because they haven't made enough money on before it did.
That's right.
Thanks, Tony.
what would be the cheapest? Because I looked up the Indian, how much to get an iPhone in India. And that didn't work out to the way I thought it would. But I wanted to get like.
Yeah, look, their pricing is fairly. Consistent across the board,
right?
So they no matter adjust for the exchange rates all the time.
So when they but they do release
every 6 months or so.
But they would release into economies that probably this would be abhorrently out of touch, out of reach for some people.
That's right. That's why in India they're all got Nokias. They don't want to sell it to just anybody.
Plus they get dual SIM. They love dual SIM in India and China.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so anyway, so the prices of them have gone up. So if anyone hadn't bought one, well, bad luck. You've got to shell out maybe.
Too late now.
That anyone would be you, Glenn.
But I don't want to buy one. I'm happy.
Well, not anymore.
You just don't know it.
Definitely not now. So as Eric said, Apple TV is now $69. Yeah, good on it.
Yes. Small fist.
Yeah, like good on it. Get some more.
Get a Roku. Mine's great.
Yeah, Roku. Yeah, what does that do? Does that? But that has what sort of Aussie apps has that got on it? Any Aussie apps like 10Play and Channel 7?
I haven't looked because I just do Netflix and everything.
They haven't dropped the price on Apple TV in Australia.
Oh, right. But it'll come, still, though. It'll, it
still
should
109.
Come. It should come. The Australian... Yeah, so we've done the... so when was the Apple Watch coming? April sometime.
April
10. Okay. Now, okay. That's the end of the Apple stories. Hoorah. Now, let's go and see what Will's up to. You got any stories, Will?
Yes, sir. We're talking about 80s bum bags and shoulder pads before. Well, of course, there's another 80s icon that most people would remember.
Is that MacGyver?
It is MacGyver. Very good. And it is. So basically what it is that he's leading the way, but there's a few people getting together and they're redoing MacGyver for 2016. The lead's going to be a woman right. And it's going to be sort of funded by or the concept's going to be put out by the US Engineering Association. And what it basically is for, it's to not really to reboot MacGyver, but to inspire a new generation of young women interested in the science of technology by creating a strong female role model, basically.
Yeah,
so, yeah, pretty much. So the concept will be probably similar to MacGyver in that
but
sort
they
of
want
to
be written,
it'll be written by Joss Whedon because he does strong female laws. That would be great.
Yeah, and they should hire Yvonne Strahovski.
Oh.
Look her up.
Yvonne's all right, is she, Eric?
Yeah, she is very attractive, but she's perfect for this role.
Yeah, right. Oh, good. Well, they should be making the A-Team. Redo yeah. that. That
they
was
did
a change
that.
They did redo that. That.
No, it was a movie, wasn't it?
A movie.
Yeah. I want the series. Yeah. I want a series. The A-Team series.
You're not going to get it, mate.
Well, they're making the $6 Million Man again, aren't they?
Oh, are they?
I think so.
I heard they're going to redo that.
Yeah, isn't it Josh Wahlberg or someone being...
Something like that.
Josh Wahlberg.
Or something, whatever his name is. That Wahlberger blue dude.
John, yeah.
Brad Clooney.
Oh, I don't know.
Mike Pitt.
Did you hear through the week that some dude broke into the Pirates of the Caribbean set?
Yeah, yes. That was hilarious.
And he stole something. And when
No. They were shooting and they had security guards around the place. And he was fully dressed up like a pirate. And he actually had a real parrot on his shoulder. And he's wandered up to the security guard and said, I'm here to be one of the extras. And the security guard sort of palmed him off. So he's pulled out a fake, what are they, cutlets or whatever the knives are called?
Cutlass. Yep.
Cutlass thing. He's pulled out one of those.
He brought out a lamb cutlet.
Cutlet.
Bit of mint sauce.
And he basically, you know, waved it around in front of the security guard, then bolted off into the bush. Queensland police spent 3 days looking for this guy. You know, because he was such a huge threat, clearly and completely inconspicuous. But during that kerfuffle, the Johnny Depp actually, I don't know, got an ingrown fingernail or something and had to fly back to hospital in LA to get it fixed.
We don't have doctors over here.
Plane, did he?
Yeah,
we don't. Our doctors are terrible here, third world country.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But when the police picked the dude up, they found him. Will they found
him?
Yeah, they found him. And when they picked him up. He was still dressed as a pirate with the parrot on his shoulder.
Yeah, 3 days later.
down at Palm Beach. Yeah, down at Palm Beach. Maybe he needs an Apple Watch.
It was great. It was the leading story on the news for 2 days.
Now, Jace, have you got
Not
any...
Not much else happens up in Brisbane.
No, well, this is true. Nothing good. That's not the best thing that happened.
Australians will be able to buy sexually explicit computer games legally for the first time under a federal government proposal. Justice Minister Brendan O'Connor, he wrote that British comedy, didn't he?
Brendan
Mrs. Brown's Boys. That was Brendan O'Connor.
Yep.
Revealed draft classification guidelines today to regulate the sale of games in this country. Australia is the only developed nation in the world without an adults-only classification for computer games. However, a national survey conducted last year found 4 in 5 Australians supported overturning the ban in favour of an R18+ category. Now they have to introduce the category rather than maintain a prohibition. Guidelines would still ban any game that depicted excessive violence, sexual violence or child sex or promoted illicit drug use, he said. Introducing the new classification will give parents better advice about what games are suitable for their children. The draft categories propose 5 categories, G, PG, M, MA15+, and R18+, as well as a refused classification category. Nudity is permitted, as is drug use, as long as it's not related to incentives or rewards. Violence is permitted. High-impact violence that is, in context, frequently gratuitous, exploitative, and offensive to a reasonable adult will not be permitted. Sexual violence may be implied if not interactive and justifiable by content.
Now, I'll tell you that... Sorry, did anyone have any comments to add to that?
I was going to say, just on that, Turkey's done the complete opposite.
Oh, that's what I was going to lead into, yes.
Yeah. They decided that Minecraft was too violent and teaching kids how to kill people, so they banned it.
Yes.
What?
Oh, it's crazy.
Well, I bet your Call of Duty's still on sale and Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. GTA 5, yep. You can still get GTA 5. You can
murder
get...
prostitutes, just don't bash a creeper.
Yeah, just don't bash a poor innocent, you know, cow.
A mob. Now, according to Faith Oak, spokesman for the Turkish embassy in Washington, D.C., a ban was out of the question. According to the Habertürk newspaper, the ministry's report said, although the game can be seen as encouraging creativity in children by letting them build houses, farmlands and bridges, mobs must be killed, which are hostile creatures, in order to protect these structures. In short, the game is based on violence. Now, the Family and Social Policy Ministry does not have that kind of authority to ban any product, but I mean... This is another situation, and
it's
which
stupid,
is
stupid. It hurts.
Yeah, it is stupid, and it hurts. And another one of these things that I think is growing in, in frequency, even in Australia, is that everyone seems to be listening to a noisy minority. It's a little squeaky wheel, you know. I think it's got to stop.
But is that like banning Monopoly for teaching people how to, I don't know, rob a bank or something? Like...
Probably.
Yeah, you got to ban Monopoly because every now and again you'll roll the dice and you'll end up in jail, and that's not a good role model.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Yeah. And what was it? These some schools, you know, dotted around the place, they're doing all genderless speak and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, look, don't
They just
me.
Added genders
don't
to Minecraft.
The left-wing agenda has just caught the politically correct... Left-wing, hairy-legged lezos, they're everywhere, mate.
But I'll tell you, just something funny just off to the side, is that, look, I know someone that works for the government, and I'll just leave it as far as that, and there's a person in the workplace whose husband is like a tradie, a brickie or a carpenter or something.
Is he genderless?
I don't know. I don't know him personally, but anyway, he's a whatever. And when it rains,
when he comes home, does he greet her? Does she greet him? Hello, dear husband. Or that's not allowed, so he must greet him. Hello, genderless person who I love.
No. This is not going down that genderless.
Okay, rightio.
This is going a lot. So anyway, so he's a tradie or whatever. So anyway, this other person, the wife, has got
the government worker.
Yeah, has got a few problems. And every time it starts raining, she starts crying, and so people find out why she's crying.
Is this like what you call it? That show, and you got to guess who it is.
Yeah,
Tanya Plibersek.
But it was because she started crying because her husband wouldn't be able to work that day, therefore not make any money. So she started upset her. So the rain upset her. She had to move desks so she couldn't see the rain. And then it got to a certain point that no one was allowed. Okay, so a memo came out that no one in the office was allowed to talk about the rain. You're not allowed to talk about the rain.
Even if it was a sunny day.
I thought she was upset because her husband couldn't work that day and therefore he was home and she couldn't invite the next door neighbour over.
Exactly. Well, that might have been it. But yeah, but how ridiculous. This is how far it's come in this place, in this country, that someone can have an issue.
Instead of saying, get over yourself. Everything will be fine. Just relax.
Yeah.
No. We've got to make allowances for the minorities, and the majority have just got to shut up and cop.
Well, we had something like that happen at the last place I worked at. Somebody complained that the Chinese people on our staff were talking in Chinese to each other, not about in the presence of other people while they're in the conversation and taking them out of it. They're just like, oh, you know, how'd you like the soccer last night? Yeah, that was great. So-and-so scored a goal. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. How's the weather or whatever between themselves on the side. But people are complaining, oh, there's this other language that's happening. I don't know what's going on there. So they complained and our manager sent an email, nobody's allowed to use foreign languages. So every morning then from then on we're like, oh, konnichiwa, hola, guten tag,
That's really pathetic. Who complained? I know who would have complained, a nosy Parker who wanted to know everything about everybody.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, there's all sorts of stuff that you shouldn't really say because, you know, it's deemed as politically incorrect, but I just can't think of anything off the top of my head.
What, Will?
In front of
you.
Feeling,
are you feeling ill?
In front of your head, maybe.
All right. Hey, don't worry, Will. When you can't think of something politically incorrect, I'll always come and rescue you. Don't worry about that.
They now, call it take out. We call it take away.
I look at it this way. We say what other people are thinking.
Yep. Well, yeah. Pretty and I mean, much. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. If everybody was stopped being... I mean, yes, you have to respect, you know, people's...
I know you're getting it, Will. There's diplomacy...
Yeah.
And then there's political correctness.
That's right, exactly.
Diplomacy is perfectly acceptable and it should be exercised at all times. However, yeah. political correctness can go straight in the garbage bin.
Yeah, exactly. It's the worst thing. If everybody said what they actually meant instead of tiptoeing around the point and getting lost in translation, things would happen not only quicker, but probably a lot smoother.
But then a lot more effective, and you might actually make some money, and the productivity would go up instead of sending memos out about not talking about the rain.
But didn't
get the memo?
Jeremy Clarkson's in trouble.
Now, you don't punch your producer.
But he punched your producer because there wasn't any food available that day for shooting.
Was it actually a punch?
I agree with him.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
No, these guys shoot 16-hour days, right?
Yeah.
It's the job of the producer, because that's why they're called producers. They produce everything, the show, the cars, the food, the staff, the camera people. That's what they do, producers. My sister used to be a producer for Channel 9. She tells me all of this. They're supposed to organise everything.
Yep.
Now, you've done a shoot for 16 hours, and then they tell you, sorry, you've got no food and we're stuck in the middle of nowhere, I would have punched him in the face as well.
It's like, and apparently this was his like umpteenth warning, because the last one was because they didn't actually go into specifics. They said the last time that he was in Korea, he said something he shouldn't have. And then in a previous episode, he mentioned the car looked like somebody in a wheelchair.
They mentioned the war.
And it's absolute crap. I watched that episode and they made a big thing out of nothing.
Yeah.
They were in Burma and they had to build the bridge over the River Kwai. You know, they do all these challenges, right? And when they built the bridge, it was on an angle, okay? And then they finished building the bridge and they had to drive their trucks over it. And then they finished building the bridge and he looked at it and he said, Richard, he goes, yes, what, mate? And he goes, there's a bit of a slope on it.
Yeah.
In angle. And it just so happens at that time, a Chinese person walked past in the background.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
An Asian person walked past, so they all go, oh, you called him a slope. He didn't. He was talking about the angle of the bridge.
Yeah, right.
And if you saw the film clip, there is a definite angle on the bridge. He wasn't making that up.
Yeah. Especially if they ran three trucks across it.
Yeah, it goes a bit out of control.
The thing that I find hilarious is they're like, and just to punish Jeremy, we're not going to air the final three episodes of the season.
Well, he wouldn't
that doesn't
care.
Punish Jeremy because he still gets paid £9 million a year.
Yeah.
They've just lost £30 million of revenue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And take nose off the spot.
And what's going to be the three most pirated episodes ever?
But I'll tell you what. Look, this Top Gear, we'll get off this in a second. But this Top Gear, that show, and Jeremy will be back. He will be back.
Oh, yeah.
And it won't be back on the BBC. It'll be back somewhere else.
Someone's going to pick him up. They'll pick him up, pay three times the price for it.
No,
Dave.
Him and his guy he went to school with, they own the rights worldwide to put Top Gear in every other country other than the UK, right? And they get so much money for doing that. Do you honestly think he's worried?
No. He said that he goes, oh, look, it'll be right, it'll blow over soon. But I'm just point I was trying to make is that, you know, like, we'll see what the BBC is really made of. If that show and Jeremy goes back to the BBC...
is a direct clone of the ABC, right?
Yeah, well, similar.
And that's why he's had many problems with them, because he's got a very right-wing view of things and the BBC are very left-wing.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
People that work at the BBC have been out to get him from day one.
Especially once he steals...
The producers and all those people.
Especially once he started stealing all the hosts from Fifth Gear, which is also a BBC show.
But I'm just saying that if he comes back onto the BBC and the BBC welcome him back, well, then the BBC need to have a look at themselves. And if they've banned someone, well, they should stick to their guns and keep him banned.
They haven't banned him yet. They've said they've suspended him pending an investigation.
Right. Yeah, right.
What they should be doing is saying that he's back and be the better person.
Yeah.
That's what they should be doing.
Yeah.
Because they're cutting their nose off the spot. BBC will go out arse backwards on this.
I mean, look,
the minute BBC cans him, every network in the UK is going to offer him, like Will said, three times as much. And he will just go, right, okay. And you know what he'll do? He'll take James May with him. He'll take Richard Hammond with him. He'll take the Stig with him. He'll take the live audience with him.
Yeah.
They'll find another track. And he'll take every staff member that works on that show, and there's about 150 of them, all the camera people, all the producers, all the editors, all the sound guys, everybody, and then what are BBC going to do?
But yeah. At the end of the day, does the BBC really care? Because they don't have to make money. They get money from their TV subscriptions or whatever. But anyway, but moving on from that, and I've got another story going down that same path. Facebook, here we go, removes the feeling fat status update, replacing it with stuffed.
So we're back on the political correctness.
Yeah. So an option.
Can you excuse me while I throw up? Hang on.
An option on Facebook to say that you're feeling fat is being removed after pressure from a campaign group. Endangered Bodies has criticised the social media network after it offered a status update along with "I'm feeling optimistic" and "I'm feeling hopeless." However, Facebook changed its mind after
an online petition. "I'm feeling retarded."
Yeah, is that still there?
Politically incorrect.
I think so. So an online petition replaced fat with stuffed. Like, who cares?
So they're going to have, like, the next button's going to be don't have a SPAC attack.
Yeah, like, who cares? Like, this, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? Like, it's just ridiculous. Look, there's heaps of other instances of this going on, and I think it's ridiculous. But anyway,
it's funny, actually, you should mention that, because I was looking at, I'll see if I can quickly find it, but apparently Australia is absolutely drilling Twitter at the moment with Australianisms. And there's such a buzz over it because nobody else knows what the bloody hell we're talking about.
And Mashable was printing a few of them. They're like, what?
Yeah, I'm just quickly scrolling through. Here we go. Here's some of them here. Things like "say it, don't spray it," "head like a drop pie," "flame and mongrel," "chucky yui," "yeah, nah," "windy enough to blow a dog off a lead," "flat out like a lizard drinking," "let's get some tucker," "slip, sop, slap," all those sort of ones.
Yeah, right.
They're actually going Burko on Twitter at the moment. Like, and there's actually a hashtag out at the moment. I'm just quickly letting
out my story. Aussie Sayings or something.
Yeah, it's something like that. Hashtag Aussie Sayings. Basically, you go through, you add as an Aussie saying with the hashtag Aussie Sayings. So, you know, you got like tuck shop or, you know, let's get some tucker or...
Stone the crows.
Bloody oath. Yeah, bloody oath. Fair sucker, the sauce bottle, you know.
I hope your chooks turn into emus and kick your dunny door in.
Yeah. You're over there feeding the chooks or something.
Yeah, that's it. And it's quite funny that, you know, just sort of overnight this phenomenon basically just took over Twitter.
Yeah, right.
That was one of the things they had when the BMX Bandits came out and Nicole Kidman's like, movie. "I'm feeling a bit crook." And everyone's like, "Why is she a criminal? What's she going to steal?"
You know, it was funny. There's a mob on YouTube. I can't think what they call it at the moment. He's a comedian and he's saying, you know, when you go to Australia, you don't use correct sentences and you never use three syllables when you can use one. Yeah. You know, it's like you're saying you don't go to McDonald's, Maccas. You go to Macca's.
Yeah.
You don't go to Burger King, you go to HJ's.
Yeah.
And it's the other way around for names. Stop. So Dave is Devo, you know, Steve-o.
Yeah. Well, he said, you can guarantee it if you've got red hair, you'll be called Bluey. He said,
or Ranger.
They'll always put an O on the end of your name. So
yeah, well, that's right. That's what happens. Well, what's wrong with that?
He said it was the funniest thing because he came over here and one of his mates said, "Oh, hang on, I'm just going to sleep into something more comfortable. I'm going to grab my thongs." And he's like, "What?" Because, of course, they call them flip-flops in the
US. You want to see me in my thong?
And thongs are something entirely different.
he's like, "Fanny."
What?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, what we call a bum bag, they call a fanny pack. Yeah. In the States, fanny isn't – it's
your bum.
Yeah, that's right.
But so if they come over here, you go, "You better watch it. I want to smack you on the fanny." You think, "Hang on a minute."
Yeah.
But I only just met.
But over here, it's your front bum.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Some people's. Yeah. But anyway, let's go on to it. We've got to finish up pretty soon. But Google opens London shop as a new marketing strategy. Apparently, they don't want to sell nothing. They just want to raise awareness. if it, anything to go by. Look, I have a very cynical night tonight.
Nobody's ever heard of Google. They need to raise awareness.
Look, I'm having a very cynical night tonight, but fair dinkum. Could you imagine how boring that shop would be if it's anything, if it's based on their products?
They have the Google Cardboard.
Oh, yeah. Or, well, you know, their app.
It'll be like the Samsung store across the road from the Apple store in the city.
That's hilarious, isn't it?
You go in there if you want to relax.
Yeah, you want to just unwind and take it easy for a while.
Just listen to the
so many stuff I don't want to buy.
Have a cup of tea.
The Google CFO is retiring, going backpacking. Good on him.
Yeah, that's it.
And
but the Google store should be interesting. Apparently, you get the spray paint on the walls. That's what this I get out of this. Anyway, I'm not really
graffiti the place.
Well, yeah, that's
nothing else to do there.
No, well, it could be something rude.
Maybe they just have voice activated search, and there's a bunch of people standing around going, "Okay, Google."
And just in case you weren't quite sure, it's going to be called the Google Shop. They're going to be selling a range of hardware, including Android phones and tablets, as well as Chromebooks, Chromecast, Google goggles, all that sort of stuff, as well as they'll be holding tutorials on and how to use the devices and Google apps.
Now, look, just getting back to this is my last story, is getting back to Apple just one second. And look, you might think that Apple's got a bit of an easy ride everywhere. They make a lot of money, but I suppose deservedly so. They've done the hard yards and they've come out with some good products. But just something of interest, Apple draws many shoppers to the stores that it resides in. So much so that they go and, like everyone, they'll negotiate the rent. So, you know, all this sort of stuff. Now, apparently, it's been recorded from, who are these? Green Street Advisors. They're a real estate research firm that if your shopping center has an Apple store in it, it can lift sales by up to 10% across the mall. So it's good. It's everyone's happy.
Yeah, but that's in much the same vein as saying if your shopping center has toilets, there's a fair chance people will go there. I mean, it's you know, it's the same sort of thing, whether there's a Woolies in there, whether there's a game, EB Games, whatever. If there's a specialty shop, if there's a $2 store, it's going to increase. If there's nothing in the shopping centre, there's nobody going to go there.
Yeah, but you got to admit that, like, it's the old thing, you know, like if there's a post office in your shopping centre, you're going to get more traffic because everyone goes to used to go to the post office. But anyway, this is
your eBay stuff there.
This is all. Well, that's Woolies
there's
now,
actually,
isn't it?
There's actually down the road from me. There's one of the fruit shops we go to regularly. They're actually a designated pick up and drop off point for like Couriers Please, Fastways, IPEC, all these couriers, and you can actually, if you order something off eBay, you can actually get them delivered to there. They've got a big, they use some of their spare warehouse out the back where they store their fruit and veggie. They've got some extra room out the back. And yeah, stuff can get delivered there, and you can just swing by on your way home and pick it up.
Now, so getting back to
In Sydney, near where I used to work, the Australia Post has got a great big bank of large lockers, and you just type in your code and you take out your eBay stuff.
Yep. Yes, yes. They've been out for about 6 months,
something like that.
But anyway, just to finish off this story here with the rents and all this, the Apple, so obviously if they can say that they're lifting the sales across the, you know, average 10% across the place, then they're able to negotiate extremely low rents. And so this, well, if someone pays a low rent, someone else has to pay a high rent. So that probably negates the 10% increase for the other people. But anyway, this was just all about this interesting fact or interesting research stat. So its bargaining power is, you know, able to allow it to pay no more than 2% of its sales a square foot in rent. Now, you might say, yeah, that's probably a lot. But typically with other tenants in the store, apart from big shopping supermarkets and DJs and all this sort of stuff, they pay 15% of a square foot in rent. So that's a big hike, isn't it, from 2 to 15. So, and, you know, so there's just more money Apple saves. That's some very cynical stories tonight.
This is only just come into my news feed. Google announces new Chromebook. As I know, they had a couple of generations of
USB-C.
It's dual, not single, but it has dual USB-C ports.
Sweet.
$999. It's a Intel Core i5, 8 gig of RAM, 32 gig SSD, 12-hour battery life with fast charge. It's a 25x1700 pixel. Dual USB 3 ports, SD card slot, 720 HD camera, and it weighs about 1.5 kilos. So that's only just the notifications.
I think MSI have got a USB C laptop as well.
Yeah, okay, it's the way to go.
$999 for that, or whatever Apple's charging for theirs, yeah, no,
$1,200 US.
Yeah.
Well, let's just go back to what Eric was saying. It's going to be lucky to even run OS X 10.
Yep.
Was my
with
little
the specs on it, yeah.
Well, my little Mac Mini, it's slowing down a bit. But anyway, Jace, did you have anything else you wanted to get off the chest?
No, it'll run it. It's because of the SSD drive.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, Jace.
Up to 250,000 votes are expected to be cast using the iVote electronic voting system between March 16 and the close of polls on March 28 in the New South Wales election. That would represent a massive increase on the 46,864 votes at the 2011 state election and could mean about 5% of the total vote is cast electronically using a telephone or via the internet. Looks set to be by far the biggest test of electronic voting in Australia, which has largely been limited to small trials in the past and one of the largest online votes worldwide. If New South Wales election proved to be close, the electronic votes could prove crucial. But before electronic voting begins on Monday, people in New South Wales should be warned there are many unanswered questions about the integrity and privacy of those votes.
As opposed to paper voting, which is much more secure.
But if there's,
talk to Florida.
If there's questions about the integrity, why are they allowed? Like,
hello, it's the Australian government. There's always questions about the integrity.
Yeah, but I mean, like, who's to say that the email address that you give the electoral office is right? And that you might go, oh, I'm John Smith. Oh, can I change my email address, please, to get the code? Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
What's any different than raiding people's letterboxes and getting their coding for their? Because to vote in the last Queensland election, they sent you out a thing with your identification number on it. You did not need to produce ID. You just needed to produce that identification number. So what was stopping you from going to the next door neighbour's letterbox and getting their identification number? It was completely
Look, it's very simple.
Well.
Everyone's got a Medicare number that's only
yes,
theirs.
Unique.
You can't change it, right? That's it. You use that.
The Australia card.
Australia
no,
cards.
Well, I don't want that.
Well, you have. It's the Medicare.
That's what the communists want. Yeah.
Pretty much. All right. Anyone else got anything else before we finish off?
That'll do.
No, there wasn't a heck of a lot around this time.
All right. No, it was all sort of consumed by Apple's big bubble of hot air, wasn't it, this week?
Bubble of hate.
And, yeah, and look, I'm surprised that Eric, you were sort of a bit down on the whole thing as well.
No, well, you've got to be objective.
Realistic.
I don't care how much
of
a fanboy I am. If a product's crap, I'm not going to defend it.
Yeah, no, you're good. Yeah, good on you, because it's just rubbish. It was a non-event, really, wasn't it?
It's just a non-event. I just can't do it. Nothing. I'm not that sort of person where, you know, I'll just blather on like a lot of a lot of guests that go on Leo's show, MacBreak Weekly, they will just defend Apple to the death regardless. Yeah. And the worst one for it is Andy Anatko. He is worse. He just when he starts talking, he just doesn't shut up. And he doesn't make any sense at all. And I'm sort of sick of listening to him, and I just want to turn off now. And he will just defend Apple to the death.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't listened to a Twit broadcast in 12 months.
Yeah, I listened to one.
Basically, since they sacked half their staff, I went, "Nah, screw you, hippie."
Yeah, no. I like Twit. That's the one I listen to pretty much.
Look, I listen to them every now and again, but there are certain
not
guests
as much as
there
used to.
That should just go the hell away.
Mm. They got rid of all the good shows.
Alex Lindsay is very good. I love listening to him. He's very bright, and he will not defend Apple.
Yeah, well, if it doesn't need it, you just
don't. Yeah, he's just saying on the recent one that he's got all Android phones.
Yeah. Well, he's on Android phone, and he bought a Surface 3. Yep. And they said, oh, why'd you do that? He's the guy that invented MacBreak, right?
Yes.
For Leo.
Yeah.
And he said, why'd you buy that for? And he said, well, I needed something. I'm on the road all the time. I needed something that allowed me to
dial in.
To doctor up PDF files and do a signature with my finger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't, you know, I'm always on the go and I'm very busy. I can't just bloody, you know, and Apple won't do it, so I'm not going to defend them and keep buying their products if they don't do it. Now, with his production machines, they're all Apple, because as far as he's concerned, they do the best job. But for his personal purposes, for doing documents and signing things and faxing things to people and whatnot, he uses the Surface 3.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was hoping that when they brought that new MacBook, I thought, oh, maybe this is going to be touchscreen. You know, I thought, oh, and why not make it flip around to become a...
I don't understand that. You know, they would corner the market if they did it. They did a Lenovo-type touchscreen MacBook.
Yeah.
MacBook. What do you call it? What do you got, Glenn?
Yeah, the Lenovo Yoga. Yoga yeah. 2.
If they did a yoga, that would clean up.
Mm.
That would absolutely clean
well,
up.
Well, but then again,
processor.
Yeah, but then again, do you think that what they're doing is okay? We're really all about the watch this time. We get we'll spin this out just to keep some people happy. We'll probably sell a few million.
Oh, look, I'm sure the next version of this MacBook, yeah. this new Mac, will be a lot better.
Yeah,
it has to be.
Yeah. Wait till next year.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and we shall. So we'll go off and we'll wait, just like good.
And we'll see you next year. Yeah. Bye.
All right. So that's it. So thanks, guys, for coming in, and we'll get.
Thank you, sir.
No worries, and we'll see you everyone next week. I think when's daylight saving finish?
Oh, God, I don't know.
End of the month.
End of the month, I think. Yeah,
could, yeah, probably is at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got an election here at the end of the month.
That's right. The footy's back, which is great. Sharks didn't go too well, which is not so great.
But no one cares.
I did. Anyway. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Don't forget AussieTechRadio.com. Don't forget the Facebook.com/AussieTechHeads, YouTube.com/AussieTechHeads.
Free apps.
The free apps, yes. There hasn't been too many these days, has there? Like, it's just
they're
a bit...
great.
They're just rubbish. They're rubbish apps, so I haven't been putting them up.
More wallpapers. That's what we need.
Yeah, just camera apps and just, like, little kid game apps that are just pretty... They didn't tweak my interest. So I haven't been putting them up. But jump on the Facebook page. Jump on the show notes or in the AussieTechHeads.com.au/podcast site. And... do whatever
speaking
you want.
Speaking of podcasts, don't forget you need to go to obsidianloft.com and check out our Obsidian Loft gaming podcast. It's more than just Minecraft now. It's all of voxel-based gaming. We talk about a few different things when we record the audio. Geeks. And also the Old Fart Geeks podcast, which is me and Warlock crapping on about numerous things that people seem to enjoy listening
retro,
to. So
retro.
You can check that out. Also, there's a new addition to the Obsidian Loft stable, which is going to be like 5-minute reviews, just games that we randomly buy that we like the look of, and we're just going to do quick 5-minute reviews and throw them up on our YouTube channel. So don't forget to check those
and
out.
And the lovely
well.
Bev.
Yeah, and of course there's Bev, and hopefully... Cat. I was trying to think which nickname to use then. She got like 14 different names. Hopefully she'll be coming back soon as well. She's got a new computer in the works. So
three screens.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, only three, slacker.
Good stuff. We'll keep an eye out for all that. And we'll see you guys next week, and we'll goodbye from everyone, and we'll see you soon. Bye bye.
Aussie TechEd is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie TechEd or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.